Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone who has called in, and I thank God for all our internet listeners. Glory to God. Continue to listen to the music, and I will return.
Thank you.
glory to God. We have to be desperate for him. We are lost without our Father God. Glory to God. And we just have to breathe in the goodness of God and just shake off everything that the stupid enemy try to come at us with. Glory to God. This is Evangelist Hannah, and welcome again to the Just Breathe program. Glory to God. God, get all the glories. I get a shout out to Kingdom Builders International and for all that God is doing through the ministry, building up souls. Glory be to God for the kingdom work. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tonight I have a guest speaker. Hallelujah, God. He is truly a man of God, Pastor Jermaine Parrish Sr. from New Everlasting Faith Ministries. And the ministry is located 6952 South Whitworth Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. And it's a Joshua Generation Ministry. Glory be to God. And you can also go to the website at www.neweverlastingfaithministry.org. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Pastor Parrish, are you on the line?
I am on the line.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, man of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the line, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus over the internet, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus over the man of God in the name of Jesus. I thank you that no weapon formed against the program shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hey, Cordova, see you, God. I pray right now, Lord God, for the word you have for the man of God to come forth tonight, Lord God, that it will just enlighten the hurting soul, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you that the word of God shall go forth, God, unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Have your way tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, amen, and glory to God. Man of God, I now yield the lines to you.
Okay, I do thank you, Evangelist Hannah, for the opportunity and the privilege to speak over the airwaves to all of our Christian brothers and sisters. I do thank God for the prayer and everything that has been said and done thus far. And I thank God for the work that you have started. And if he has allowed you to start it, then he's able to allow you to continue in the assignment that he has ordained for you. So I do bless for the privilege and the opportunity. I come with you. I will not be before you long, as I would say on a Sunday or a Wednesday. But I came to give a word to God's people as it pertains to church. We're dealing with a lot in the body of Christ where individuals patty cake the decision to go into church. And it's something that is totally heartfelt to me, because one thing I do believe, as growing up as a young individual in church, born and raised, I say it very often, my mother carried me in the womb in church. And one thing I grew up knowing, that church was essential for spiritual growth. Yeah, you can do, as I tell my church all the time, yeah, you can dress up and sit in front of your TV and do like Roseanne and put in your clothes and watch a sitcom or a radio station or a telecast of church. It is a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. So you can sit at home and watch church. Yeah, you can praise them in your car. You can lift your hands and park on the side of the road, because you do feel the quickening in your spirit. But the church is ordained for individuals to come. Because one thing about it, the joy of the Lord is the strength. So it's something that I do want to talk about this evening. So just going to the Apostle Paul, kind of picked it up, and he said a couple of things in regards to the church. We have to understand that my text comes from, well, I'm kind of going in and out, but it's Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, going to Revelations 3, 1 through 3. But I'm talking about how to kill a church without trying. Paul comes on the scene and he tells us that the church is orchestrated to give glory back to God. And there's no age restriction on giving God glory. So there's no, I have to wait till I'm 14 to recognize that there is a true God that I have to worship in spirit and in truth. The Bible says that you have to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. So when children go astray, it behooves us as parents to plant seed. And they may stray, but it is our prayer that they return back to the first love. But Paul is on the scene, and we're talking about how to kill a church without even trying. Hebrews 10 and 25, it says it just flat out forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So we have to understand that God has assigned the church for us to go. So it's not enough to sit at home and praise God. It's not enough for me to sit in my car and lift my hands and just give him a praise. It's not even enough for me to put a cross on the top of my head and drive by church and give God a praise. God has ordained the church for us to go according to Scripture. If you go with me, just jumping around a little bit, John 20 and 24th chapter talks about Thomas, one of the disciples, one of the individuals that was close with Jesus, missed the very first Sunday after Jesus had resurrected. Didymus is what they called him, and we understand the difference between Thomas and Didymus. He was a double-minded individual. He had two minds. He had a split personality. One day he was all right. The next moment he was gone crazy, and they had to deal with this all in the Bible days in the ministry of Jesus. So he misses church in this moment, and I have 3 points for you. He misses, first thing he misses is the peace. The second thing that he misses is the privilege. And the third of all of it, he misses the power, which is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So if we know anything about the story of Jesus, we know that Jesus has walked this walk, has done what he has been assigned to do. According to Scripture, we know he came from an angel in heaven. And when man had failed because of man, Adam, God decided to say within himself, I need man to go down because man failed, man sinned. So I need to send somebody to go their seed, to go their stead, to redeem man from a sin-cursed world. And according to Scripture, it backs up and says that the matriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the matriarchs and patriarchs decided to tell God that if you give me a body, I will go down. But God had something for him. He told the individual the different elements that they had. Told Moses, no, you kicked the rock. He told them the different things that they did that would not allow them to go the speed of man. But his son Jesus stood up and said, Father, if you give me a body that flows blood and water, I will go down and redeem man from a sin-cursed world. So Jesus goes on the scene from the foundation to redeem us, my sisters, my brothers, our cousins, individuals that are walking up and down the street. He did it for us, and it's something that we must know. So he dies, and he comes into the church where all the disciples are hiding, and everybody else is there but Thomas. And we get this same element in church. Everyone else is at church, and like I tell my church all the time, I don't care what you say, how much you say it, somebody is going to be the oddball. Somebody is not going to do what's asked. Somebody is not going to do what's taught. And then those are the ones that's worried why things are still happening. Maybe if you listened to church, maybe if you came to church, Maybe if you gave your ear and stopped going on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter, maybe you would have heard the revelation of the Lord. But we're so engulfed in us, myself and I, we miss what God is trying to do. But Thomas misses church after Jesus has died. And we know that Jesus has already forestated if you tie down this temple in 3 days, he prophesied it. He said, I'll build it back up. And the very individual that he was closest to could not perceive what he had just said. So they're hiding in the church. Thomas misses church, and Jesus reaffirms them. He gives them the Holy Ghost to keep them, to give them the power to do the same works that he had done. So he had given them the peace. He had given them privilege. He had given them the power. But Thomas misses the episode. So Thomas decides to come to church after the fact that Jesus has come on the scene and has left, and he has missed the Messiah. And the other disciples begin to tell him that, well, Jesus showed up. And it's the same thing that I say at my own church. Jesus shows up every service. But one thing you have to understand, that when it comes to missing church, church is what you make it. The old mothers used to tell us in church, at Bright Star Church, that you only get out of church what you put into church. So it would behoove you, if you look for a boyfriend in church, you'd find a boyfriend in church. If you look for a girlfriend in church, you'd see a girlfriend. If you look for somebody that don't look all that good, you're going to find it in the church. If you look for somebody that smack a tooth and only got two good ones, you're going to find just what you're looking for right in church. So if you look for hell, you're going to find it in church. If you look for gossiping, you're going to find the gossip section. Whatever you look for in the household of faith, you'll find it. We have to understand that the enemy is the prince of this atmosphere. He walks the ground. So he knows how to not only sit outside of the church, he knows how to sit right next to you in church. So whatever you look for, it's found in the church. Thomas says, no, Jesus could not have shown himself because I didn't see him. And it is the problem with most converts, most Christians, most individuals, us, them, they, those that decide to sit at home and they have the script. I have many members at my church, and I try to get them to understand that coming to church is essential. You cannot afford not to be under the ark of safety, because there is a real enemy. There's a real adversary, and his name is the devil. He is real. No, he's not walking around with red horns sticking out of his head and a long red tail with a point on the end, nor does he have a pitchfork in his right hand. But he's coming through a smooth personality. He has a cool swagger. The spirit of the enemy is the enemy. That wrong, when we want to do right, is the enemy. So we have to know how to recognize the devil. But he'll sit right in church with you, and he'll talk to you, and he'll plant a seed in your mind to get you out of church. But we have to know that it's essential to be in the church. Thomas missed him in this segment. He said, no, I won't believe that he's here unless I feel in his side, or if I'm able to put my finger through the print in his hand. So Jesus came the following week, and he showed himself. And we do know the story that Thomas began to repent and praise God. But God had to tell him, bless those that praise, that had not seen me, that still believe. And he's talking about the Christians right now. We've never seen them. I've never stuck my finger through the crucifixion experience that he had. I've never been able to rub his back to feel those 42 stripes that was whipped across his back. No, I've never taken my hand and rubbed it against his forehead to feel the compression of the thorn that was pushed in his head. But I believe the story. I believe that he shed his blood on Calvary's cross just for me. So it is the reason why I go to church, to give him praise wholeheartedly. David says it this way, many go to church, but they're not wholehearted. And he said in the book of Psalms 122, the first verse, that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I'm excited on Sunday morning. I'm excited on Wednesday afternoon, the privilege to go to church. And we have to understand, my brothers and my sisters, it is a privilege to go into the house of the Lord. And the revelation is, you give your job 40 hours a week. Amen. We give our jobs 40 hours a week to do whatever they ask us to do. So you could be flipping those burgers at McDonald's, sitting at that hot fry station. You're going to clean, you're going to mop, you're going to scrub, you're going to pick up tables, you're going to deal with individuals that have negative attitudes that will curse you out. And the only thing you're going to do is smile, do your job, and come back the next day to do it all over again. But for most average churches, where it's too much to give God 4 hours a week of our important time. But we'll go shopping in the mall for hours endlessly, not looking at a watch, but be in prayer at church. I reckon you'd look at your watch at least 2 to 3 times. How long are they going to pray in church? But it is the house of prayer. So you can predicate a time on prayer in the house of prayer. See, the revelation is you have to have something to pray about. See, prayer is just thanksgiving unto the Father. So we're so busy asking him for more, but where's the thanksgiving for what he's already done? Kill a church without even trying, because there's no level of concern for the church. Says that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So it is a public invitation. I don't want to do it by myself. So I say it like Joshua picked it up and said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. So I even let people in my house understand that children, adults, anybody, visitors, you cannot stay here while I'm at church, because we all have to do the same thing. We have to give God true praise. And if you're not aboard that ship, then you are part of the wrong boat. And you need to find the boat that's doing your thing. But as for me and my house, we shall praise him. We shall give him worship. I don't want to kill the church without trying. And that's what most of us mess up at. Thomas did not have a desire not to give God praise. He didn't have the desire not to be in church. But just like many of us give the excuse, something happened that stopped him from being where he should have been. But Psalms 84:10 says it this way. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So instead of walking up and down Wentworth Avenue under the ark of the enemy, not being covered by God's covenant, I would rather be in his house. Just 2 hours on a Sunday is better than a week standing outside. Amen. And we have to all agree with it. No, I don't have to have the biggest seat or the greatest head. Let me stand at your door, God. Yes, I will usher them in. Yeah, I will sit your people, because it is an opportunity. It is a privilege to be in your house. It's a privilege, and that's what we have to understand, brothers and sisters. It's a privilege, because I promise you, right now, tonight, my grandmother, Shirley Bell, and I solicit your prayers for her, is in St. Bernard Hospital. But no doubting, I assure you, she'd rather be at home or somewhere else giving God a praise. I solicit you that somebody at Cook County Hospital would love to trade footsteps to be where we have the opportunity to be. Amen, amen. It says, going on down, I want to just talk about some of the excuses, because the thing about it, we have to understand that excuses, that is truly what kills inside of the church. Excuse makers kill the church. And we have to understand that excuses is just the skin of reason stuffed with a lie. I'm going to say it one more time. Excuses is the skin of reason stuffed with a lie. I'll give you a couple of examples. And then just throw a name. You say a name to bear no blame. Johnny had a runny nose. So look, Johnny had a runny nose, but did it take the whole house to wipe it for him? No way. Johnny probably could have did it for himself, but these are the excuses we use not to go to his house. I'm tired. It's the greatest of them. But you have to understand that Jesus got tired too. What would have happened if Jesus failed to go to the cross because he was too tired? His word declares that he could have called 12 legions of angels to pull him off the cross, but he gave up his life for his friend. He said, no man takes my life, but I give it for my friend. So what an awesome God that gave his life as a sacrifice to give us a right to go to church to continue to give him praise. As I told you about 5 minutes ago, people go to work, feel fine all week long. But when it's time to go to church, your Bible class, your Sunday worship experience, choir rehearsal, you automatically get a headache. It just automatically develops, and we decide not to go into the house of the Lord. Any reason or excuse is good enough if we really don't want to go anyway. So, yeah, I can have to wash clothes, and I've just made it up in my mind. I'm going to do it on Sunday. So I'm going to do everything else that I shouldn't do on God's day because it is the Sabbath. I'm going to do it on his day. So that is the excuse. I have to help the children do homework. So it's an excuse not to give him praise. Or I have to get my car washed on a Sunday. Or I have to clean my house on a Sunday. So it's always an excuse. I have to get ready for work on Monday, on Sunday. But we can club all day on Saturday. And we can club all night after work on Friday. But Sunday, we're too lazy. We're too stiff-necked to give God what to do unto him. Everyone knows that the schedule for your Sunday, we understand that you have some churches have your Sunday school, you have your worship service, many churches have the evening service. We know we have the Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday night Bible class, you have your prayer meetings. And the revelation is these times are well acquainted. We are aware they're in the bulletin. They're on our offering envelopes. They're usually on the doors of the church. They're on the outlaying of the church. So we know them down packed. I tell my parishioners all the time, your job does not have to call you Monday through Friday to remind you what time you have to be at work. You get your schedule one time and you remember it like clockwork. They'd think you were insane if you called every day to ask what time did you start and what time did you get off. But yet right now I say I have parishioners that ask me, Pastor, what time does service start? And I tell them all the time the same time that the sign says outside of the building. So we make excuses to do what we want to do in the household of faith. We have to understand that we got to do God so much better because what we're doing is we're killing the church. Not trying with our everyday excuses. Amen. We kill the church by the indifference to its programs. We have to understand that the church will only grow by winning souls and the starting of evangelism. You have to start it. You have to have missions and evangelism. You have to win souls. And after you win souls, you have to train those souls how to solicit and win more. So you have to understand it's vital that we replenish the church. The Bible says in the book of Luke, don't have the exact scripture, but it says that he is creating us to be fishermen of men. So he's allowing us to recruit more individuals to come back into the church. He's allowing us to throw our rod, not in the church, because the individuals are already there that are there. But he's allowing us to get our fishing net and throw it outside of your doors of your church and to pull that thread back, to pull someone in. Amen, amen, to add somebody else to the church. So evangelism is absolutely essential, but do we have the concern? See, we're killing the church because we don't have the concern. No, I don't want to outreach. No, I don't want to walk door to door. No, I don't even want to tell the people that are walking up and down the street, Jesus loves you. He's ready to save you. He wants to be in covenant relationship because we're so busy looking people up and down, seeing the indifference in them, being able to say, well, your skirt is too short, your jeans are too dirty, your hair is too nappy. But what would we be if it wasn't for God on our side? See, we have to consider ourselves when we're looking at someone else. See, I sing the song all the time, it could have been me, oh Lord, outdoors with no food and no clothes. But see, the songwriter continues to say that he didn't see fit to let any of these things be. Every day by your power, Lord, you keep on blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. See, it could have been me. Could have been naked. Could have been my children outside. I could have got a phone call at a school and said, my child had a heart attack or an asthma attack, or one of my children got shot by a drive-by shooting, and I'm not going to be hard on myself. It could have been any of you all listening that had the same scenario. Could have been you. So you have to be considered when you're looking on other individuals or looking at how individuals dress or their likeliness or how they come. Consider yourselves. It could have been you. Many of us, many of them, many of you all have been on drugs before, have been a drunk before, have been dealing with situations of prostitution. But God saved us, redeemed us, cleaned us, and brought us in his house and established us. So who are we to look down on somebody else? They just have to go the same route we did. So we have to have a heart of compassion for the individuals. The Bible says, "For love and kindness have I drawn thee." So if it took love to bring you into the church, it's going to take love to go out to bring somebody else in. Amen, amen. So we have to not kill the church by the indifference of individuals. You have to have the love and the compassion. Also kill the church by being insensitive to its needs. And talking about being insensitive to its needs, you have to understand that we kill the church by not doing for the church. The Bible says that we sit in our paneled houses looking good. Amen. No doubt many of us will put chandeliers in every room. We don't only have a standard light that's in the ceiling. We have to get ceiling fans with the lights that come out. We have to get the arc doors and bay windows. And you got to get the most fashionable carpets and linoleum flooring and real natural wood on your floors. But God's house can have a hole in the bathroom and paint chipping across the walls and signs falling everywhere and a bucket to hold water that's leaking from the roof. And we would talk about a shepherd and say, woe unto the pastor. That's a shame he won't get that fixed. But could it be it's a shame that we won't give any money to fix it? And I don't like to talk about things like that, but you have to preach the gospel and not hold it back. We have to understand that as parishioners, or just as individuals that consider ourselves to be in the church, you have to understand that it takes us, I say it all the time at my church, money keeps ministry in motion. I'm going to say it one more time. You could take a note. Money keeps ministry in motion. Can't be insensitive to the needs of the church. I have to understand that God has required me, according to the book of Malachi, the third chapter, read it when you get an opportunity, that he will rebuke the devourer for my sake when I give him a tenth of whatever I have. So I'm going to be a little bit real for you. That's if you get public aid. Amen. That's if you get a credit card. That means if you get Social Security. That means if you get unemployment. That means if you braided somebody's hair. If you finger waved somebody's hair. If somebody gave you some money. If you got an income tax check. If you got a biweekly check. If you got a school check. If you got a scholarship check, you are required, according to Scripture, to give God a tenth of whatever your increase is. My brother used to tell me all the time, well, if my father gave me $100, he has explained it to me that I don't owe God 10%. I said, no, that is a lie, according to Scripture. You have to understand that the income is whatever gives you more. So whatever would allow you to have more, if I got $100 in my pocket and my mother gives me 20 more, then I owe God too. That's an increase in my pocket. So you have to understand you cannot be insensitive. I know that if my carpet is ripping, as a parishioner, I have to have a concern. And I have to have a concern because if you flip it, if it was my house, I would want that carpet fixed. If my window was bust, I would want a new window because I wouldn't want it freezing on my children and my family. But if a window is bust at the church, we'll have that concern on a shepherd that's probably struggling, providing for his own family. So you can be insensitive. Have a heart for the shepherd. Have a heart for the church. You have to understand, I don't care if I'm ever allowed to be back on the airwaves, your money is the only thing that's going to move ministry. I tell my church at 6952 South Wentworth, New Everlasting Faith Ministries, when you stop giving money, I still love you because I can't make you do anything. It's for God to touch your heart. But if you stop giving, I'll praise him right on the outside of this place. But part two, you'll know while we're out here. Because the pastor can't do it by himself. Two members can't do it by themselves. Three members can't do it by themselves. You have to have the concern, not being sensitive. We sit at church on cushioned chairs. We, individuals, us, walk up and down the aisles on the carpet. And most of us in the Pentecostal church cut a rug up. We'll roll in the floor. We want to drink the water that's provided in the church. Hinkley. Use the bathroom. You want to wash your hands with soap. Dry your hands with paper towels. But if you never give nothing, how are those things being replenished? So you have to understand, you drain somebody else when you give nothing in church. And then the two part of it, you curse yourself when you don't give into God's house. God has assigned you, under the sound of my voice, to be a provider for the household of faith. You are not living up to your standard if you're holding God's part. And we're not here to condemn you or to send you to hell. If you haven't been giving your tenth to your church, then start tonight. Make a covenant with God now and tell him for the rest of this year, and not only for 2011, but going forward, you're going to do what's right before God. You have to honor him with your substance. Don't be insensitive to the needs of the household of faith. Amen. It's, I have to understand that it's personal. It's periodical. And it's proportionate. So I'm going to say it again. It's personal. It's periodical. And it's proportionate. Personal because you got to include every one of you. It's periodical because upon the first day of the week, you have to understand you have to be insensitive. You have to understand that it's your own personal relationship going to the household of faith, doing what is assigned for you in the household of faith. It's periodical because you have to do it every Wednesday and every Sunday, or so as it is assigned in your house. And it's proportionate. God has prospered. So you have to understand that I have to bring my substance. When I give and do what I'm assigned, then the house of God flourishes. Amen? I have to continue on. We have to be we kill the church by being indignant towards church members. And this is a great one. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us." So you have to understand that if I have an ought against my brother or my sister, things that kill the church, if I'm uncompassionate to somebody that has wronged me, it's not right for me to walk down another aisle because I see you coming down another one. You have to understand that even with my own brothers and sisters, yes, we fuss, yes, we fight, but I still love you. I have cousins and aunts and uncles. Yeah, we may disagree, but I still love you, and I still disagree with you and won't kiss you and still don't agree with nothing that you say. Yeah, you're a liar, but I love you anyway. No, I don't agree with your lifestyle. I don't agree with what you do. You may not agree with my lifestyle and things that I do, but I still love you anyhow. I have to understand that I'm not the judger of your salvation. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. And once we get that inclined in our spirit that I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, we'd be better converts. And that is not for me. Salvation is not in my lips to put you anywhere. But I have to have a level of compassion, and I have to love you. Anyhow, I have to know how to show you love. If I know I'm going to say something to hurt you, I need to shut my mouth. Keep those words inside. Something about the Holy Ghost will make me do right when I want to do wrong. I don't care how mad you made me. When I see you, I got to tell you I love you to shut down the works of the enemy. Amen, amen. So we have to be knowledgeable. Have to understand, I tell my members all the time, when new converts come into the house of God, it's not for you to pick them out and figure what clique, club, and committee they'll be a part, but allow them to drive relationship with the leader and allow the leader to assign them to individuals that will help gird them in their spiritual walk. Because what happens in most churches is we don't have the tenderheartedness and the forgiveness and that love level. I had a parishioner come to me one time and said, Pastor Parrish, came to church and came in, and I tell my church all the time, if you hear that door in the back of the church, it's a great chance that everybody's going to look to the back of the church. It's just people in church. She said everybody looked at me, and the individuals looked at me, twisted their face, twisted their nose. And you have to be careful, because things like that turn people away, not only from church, it turns them away from God. Because the only thing that they remember is the last time I came, they looked at me like this. So if you want to have a heart of love, be kind towards one another. Nothing beats old-fashioned kindness. We have to understand that. And if there's ever an art, forgive one another for Christ's sake. You don't have to do it because your mother told you, your brother, or the clique, club, or committee told you to do it. Matthew 6:15 says, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it is for us to forgive a person that's wronged us, because that's the only standing post we have with God forgiving us. So I have to forgive that I may be forgiven. We ain't got it all together. We ain't had it all together. And if you feel that you have, keep on living. As long as you got life, you're going to have some mess ups, some slip ups. So you have to be one of a forgiving heart. Mark 11:25-26 says it like this, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have not against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So even when I go into the spirit of praying, I cannot be so upset when I've allowed how I feel to be all in me. Then I feel like my prayer was going to heaven. Oh, Lord, please prosper me. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, I thank you, but I can't forgive my brother who I see every day, but I'm praising, giving reverence to a God that I've never seen. Heaven forbid, it's not him. Matthew 18:21-22 says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And he's talking to us, and forgive him. Says, forgive him 7 times 7. 70 times 7. So you have to forgive him every time you feel like somebody has done something wrong. Because, see, what can you do to an individual that's done you wrong? Nothing but forgive them. Our aim ought to be upbuilding of the body of Christ. Amen. Also killed the church by not being identified with its fellowship. So we have to understand that there are a lot of church drifters, things that happen to make us change. The Bible says that this way, you did run well, but what hindered you? And I always add to my church, I tell them, who hindered you? Because it's normally a person, then a thing that changed you. You have to be identified in the fellowship. There's a couple of things that you have to do. You have to have that first level of love that you started with. These are things that kill the church because we're not identified in the fellowship. There are 3 things that must happen before a person can become a church member. You got to be saved, according to Romans 10:9. Be spiritually baptized, and then you must be added to the church. I'm going to say it again. You have to be saved, so you have to have the confession that he is who he is. Have to have the water baptism. And then you have to be added to the church. And being added to the church is just not filling out our church membership cards. It's being active and then coming every opportunity. Amen. And I tell my church, and I'll tell you over the airwaves, if an individual tells you don't go to work, it's a line of one to go to church. And I'm sorry, go to work. It is essential to be a provider. Amen, to provide for your house and God's house. Go to church, provide for your family. Amen, but if you're not working on the Sunday, you ought to be in God's house. Because the revelation is we'll do anything else on any other day. So we have to give God his all. We have to realize that God gives us all, and then we don't want to give back to him. And what haughty people are we that don't care about the division level in the church? See, we have to understand that most churches go down because of parishioners that don't care. Amen. We don't care to give our time. We don't care to give our talent. We don't care to give our treasure. And we have to understand that these are three essential things that are needed. Your time is needed because one thing about it, I tell my church, if our service is between 12 and 2 and you come at 3, who did I preach to? And you're not here. Amen. So your timeliness is very essential because if I'm preaching just to me, I could have did it at home. Amen. Your talent, giving of your talent is essential because if you can sing, you ought to do it in the church and not just limit it to the shower. Amen. You ought to bring that gift that God has given you because if you don't, they told us that if you don't use the gift, you'd lose the gift. And why not give it to the storehouse of God that he may multiply the gift? Amen. He'll see you singing on the praise team, and then he'll allow you to join the choir. Then he'll allow you to have a solo part. You don't know how God is going to expand you. And he may expand you and pull you all the way from the bottom straight to the top. I've seen individuals go skyrocket in the gospel arena just for utilizing their gifts. So you have to understand if God has made you one of stern ability. There's nothing wrong with being an usher in the church. Amen. Just be a disciplined individual yourself. Amen. There's nothing wrong if God has put the ministry inside of you, the preaching of the gospel. Be a minister. Be a minister in training, willing to convert yourself over into the fullness that God has ordained you to be to the fullest potential. Amen. If God has put the ability to be servant to the church and the shepherd, be a church nurse. It's nothing wrong with being a servant to the household of faith. It is the same capacity in which Jesus walked in as a servant. Amen. Doing the will of the Father to redeem us. Amen. So you have to give God your time. You have to give him your talent. And as we say it firmly, it is your treasure. And don't get me, I'm not a pastor that talks about money, 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 money. No, that is not it. It is a way for us to prosper. Amen. Amen. Give that it may be given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, that men, because God is only going to bless us through people. He's not going to rain me a $100 check out of heaven and say, drop into Pastor Parrish's hand. No, he's going to have somebody shake a $100 bill in my hand. So we have to understand that he touches the heart of people to be a blessing and to us. And it's not always through money. Sometimes my money can't get me the favor that I need. Amen. Sometimes our money can't give me the favor, but I need a healing, so I need to go see a doctor, and I don't have the insurance. So you have to understand that the treasures is not all predicated on money. Amen. But you have to know the prosperity level. But you have to be willing to give God your time, your talent, and your treasure. Amen. And one thing about God is an intelligent God. He knows what we have and what we don't have. My pastor tells me all the time that one thing about it, God does know what you have, and depending on the situation of God's people, just things that will kill the church with not trying. Most individuals will go to church, come to church, and feel as though I only have 50 cents or I only have $1 to give. You have to understand that it's extremely essential to give God your best. God is requiring that we do our best. We have to understand that situations happen and things go on, and we feel like I don't have enough to give a tenth or a tithe unto God. But in this day, we have allowed the devourer to rage like a bull, and he's ready to overtake all the time because he knows that this is our personality. But Pastor Harris used to say it best, you feel as though you cannot afford to tithe. You cannot afford to give. But the revelation is you really cannot afford not to because of the catastrophe that's assigned. Read the book of Malachi, the third chapter, and see how that scripture breaks down what happens when we hold back what to do unto God. But it's not always about money because God knows what we have. If we don't have a treasure, then he knows we have a talent. And if we don't have a talent, we got all the time in the world. And sometimes we have all three, and we can give all three. And God will continue to prosper us for the sacrifice of faithfulness unto him. In closing, I want to throw out that it's essential in this day and time, the church is being destroyed. It's being killed by the lack of concern that individuals have. So if this has been you anywhere in this sermon, ask God to condition your hearts and to free you from being the stumbling block that will hinder the church. I pray now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to speak over the airwaves to your people, God. These are your people. Oh, God, bless them, prosper them now, oh, God. If any of us have fallen short of your glory, if we're doing anything, oh, God, that will separate or kill your church without even trying, oh, God, forgive us. We repent with a whole heart. Forgive us, oh, God. It is our desire to fill your house, to prosper your house, to do our very best to benefit your house, oh, God. Oh, God, so if we've been lazy, oh, God, if we've been laxy-daisy in your house, oh, God, allow us, oh, God, to bear the fruits of the Spirit that we may do what you've assigned us to do, to be faithful servants in your vineyard, oh, God, because we do realize according to your word that we have to work the works of him that sent us, because when night comes, no man can work. So, God, make us faithful until the day is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I bless you, all God's people. I ask you, oh, God, I send out the opportunity to these your people, Pastor Jermaine Parrish, pastor of New Everlasting Faith Ministries. We're located conveniently at 6952 South Wentworth Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our church's telephone number is 773-488-1240. That number once again is 773-488-1240. Our Sunday services start at 12 noon, and if you are privileged, you can join us Sunday, November 20th. At 12 p.m. and it's our first annual Friends and Family Day. Meet us there. Amen. We look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you, and we love you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank God for the word that was brought forth tonight by Pastor Parrish. Hallelujah, Jesus. You got your time, your talent, and your treasure. If you don't have treasure, give him your talent. If you don't have talent, give God your time. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you are on the phone line or you are over the internet and you have never confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, And you don't fellowship with the saints of God because you have not called on him, you have not became a believer, and you're going through and you're trying to fix it yourself. You can't do that. Jesus took the sin, the sickness of the world for you, for me. So right now, you can repeat after me. I know that I have sinned, and right now I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I open the door of my heart, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I take control of my life, and help me. You take control of my life, and help me become the person you have called me to be. I thank you for dying on the cross so I can be forgiven. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me. In the name of Jesus, if you said that prayer, welcome to the body of Christ. I thank God for you. You can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org and put it in the comment box. We would love to send you a Bible. We would love to pray for you. We would love to stand in your faith fight with you. Glory to God. And hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And again, I thank God for everyone who has called in. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're truly worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for tonight. I just plead the blood of Jesus again over the man of God. I come against any spirits of backlash or retaliation in the name of Jesus, God. I pray that you will continue to supply every need for the man of God and his ministry in the name of Jesus. I thank God again for everyone that's called in. And for all our internet listeners, we will not be opening up the lines tonight, but I will put on a song to take us all. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
In total surrender, our hands lift.
Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on his promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say,
wait, wait,